Welcome to Dinosaur George Kids, a show for anyone who loves dinosaurs. Dinosaur George has studied paleontology for over 50 years and has performed live to over 4 million students across the world. So sit back and enjoy today's show. Now, here's Dinosaur George.
Hey there, future paleontologists. I'm Dinosaur George. Welcome to the 100th podcast. This is number 100. And it's kind of exciting to hit that milestone. What is a milestone? What a milestone is, for you young listeners, you may hear people say milestone. That's sort of like a moment, a time, a spot, a place where something important happens. So like, for instance, when you go from age 12 to 13, you've hit a milestone. You're now a teenager. When you become, when your first year of school, that's a milestone. You're in school. So for me, this milestone is episode number 100. This one is interesting. Alexis is our social media director. She does all of the stuff that you see online. She creates all these episodes for the podcast. She writes them. She sends them to me. I have the easy part. I just get to sit down and read what she sends me. Now, she doesn't know the answers to the questions that people are asking, but she sends me their questions. And so she does a lot. So we were talking about what we would do for the 100th episode, and she came up with the idea of kind of doing this or using this podcast to sort of tell you all my story, how I got started, what I've accomplished, those kind of things, what sort of milestones I've hit. And I think that's kind of interesting. So what she did is she contacted our T-Rex Patreon Club members and asked them to write questions about things they would like to know, things that they think are interesting about me. And so that's what this podcast is going to be. It's going to be kind of fun, I think. So she has different segments that she wants me to talk about, and then sprinkled within those segments are questions written by, or questions submitted by, our T-Rex Patreon Club members. Couple of exciting things. Let's first start off with, we have now had 1,109,148 downloads of this podcast, which is crazy. When I first started it, I certainly didn't think we would ever have a million downloads, but we are off and running. I'm heard in 181 countries in 16,145 cities around the world. And the number one city for listeners is Sydney, Australia. How crazy is that? Isn't that amazing? All of my little friends in Australia, thank you all so very much. We have so many listeners over there. And it's just amazing that of all the cities in the world, Sydney, Australia is where more people listen to me than any other city. And you know what's funny? The second one right under that is Melbourne, Australia. So the number one and number two cities in the world that listen to me are both over in the beautiful country of Australia. And I really desperately want to go visit there. And that would be a lot of fun, maybe to go over there and have a big meet and greet and go meet all these friends in person. Okay, so if you're ready, I'm ready. Are you ready? I'm ready. Let's go. First of all, my real name is George Blassing. Now, most of the people I grew up with pronounced it Blazing. So George Blazing is what you'll hear. Anybody who grew up with me, that's what they call me. But then after that, the people that met me started to pronounce my name Blassing. It's funny, is I used to work in this company, and that's how my boss pronounced my last name. And I never wanted to correct my boss. So over time, I've kind of morphed it. It's funny, when I talk to my family and friends and people I grew up with, I call it Blazing. And when I see somebody else, I introduce myself as Blasting. So I've got this interchangeable last name. It's just so funny. I am what is known as the managing director of my company. My company is Dino George LLC. It's a corporation. And I am the sole owner of the company. I own all the shares, and I'm the managing director of it. And I'm very lucky because I have incredible people that work for me. The road crew that travels with me with the traveling museum are incredible. The individuals that Shelby and the gang out at the store and museum are incredible. That's Marisa, Adriana, Robert. They're taking care of things out at the store. And then, of course, like I mentioned about Lexi, she is just the machine that drives it, kind of all everything social media. She drives it. So that's kind of what I do. So I've been in business now for 27 years, I think. I think it's 27 years. Let's see. This year is 2024, and I opened in 1997. So I'm not very good at math, but I know that's more than five. Let's see. Let's get into. Oh, no. You know what? I want to do this first. I got birthday shout outs to do. Now, if you are a member of the T-Rex Club in our Patreon Club, and if you'd like to become one, you could go to the website dinosaurgeorge.com, and you'll see a link there where you can join up. One of the benefits is you get to get a birthday shout out. So I need to do these shout outs. Now, to start off with, I've got a couple of people. Sometimes what happens is I don't do the birthday shout outs at the very beginning of the month because a lot of people want to join to get their birthday shout outs. And so we try to give them a good amount of time to be able to join to hear their birthday shout outs for that particular month. But every now and then we miss some. And so I've got three of them that I want to give for these are folks that we missed. And so first is Teddy Rex, who turned six back on September 18th. Raptor Jack turned 10 January 26th. Envil Oscar Raptor, that is brilliant, turned 7 on February 17th. Now, you'll hear these funny names because one of the things we enjoy doing is you are able, if you would like, if you wish, you're able to give yourself a nickname. You don't have to, but some do. So that's why these names, when you listen, you go, who would have named their child Velociraptor? Well, it's Oscar, but he likes Velociraptor. So he combined them. That's crazy. So now let's get into the March birthdays. First, Ankylosaurus Elliot turned 7 on March the 1st. Carno Cameron Taurus turned 6 March the 1st. Ichthyosaurus Alfie turned 6 on March the 4th. Velociraptor turned 6 March the 5th. Macroraptor, that's a cool name, turned 7 on March the 8th. Little Emma, Miss Emma, turned 9 March the 8th. Starviraptor turned 5 March the 8th. Let's see. Kakilosaurus? That's a cool name. Kakilosaurus turned, I don't know how old, but I had a birthday on March the 11th. Hey, that was not too long ago. That wasn't too terribly long ago, right? Tyrannosaurus Rose turned 6 on March the 11th. Silas Paul Johnson turned 8 on March the 12th. Camden turned 8 on March the 14th. Baron Raptor turned 7 on March 14th. Camadon turned 11 on March 14th. Velociraptor Maddox turned 9 on March the 16th. Jackraptor turned 9 March the 17th. That was yesterday. Right? What is today? Wait, is today the 17th? Oh, today's the 18th. Indominus Massimo Rex turned 7 on March 17th. Grayson Cha-Cha-Cha Raptor turned 6 March 17th. Don't say those words when you say birthday. You know how much trouble that starts? Jonosaurus Rex turned 6 today. Happy birthday, buddy. Andrew Raptor will turn 11 on March 21st. Dino Jamo, been with us a long time, turns 12 March 22nd. Woe of the Dinos turned 6 March 23rd. TJ Soros turned 7 March 24th. Oh, what is this one? Stenonico Calvin. That's a big name. Stenonico Calvin turned 7 March 24th. Vedraptor turned 6 March 27th. And Jude the Dino Dude turns 8 on March 29th. To all of you, happy birthday to you all. I can't sing it, you guys. You have to understand. I get attacked every time I sing it. And if I sing happy, I don't even want to say it. If I sing it or say it, I get attacked. So I'll do a real quick one. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. All right. Whew. Cha-cha-cha. Ah! Ow! Get... Really? We're not doing these anymore. All right. So, let's get into it now. And Kylo David Soros, who's 6 from Michigan, said, how did you get your name? That's interesting. I'll tell you what happened. I opened up a retail store. Originally, I had a store. And one of the things that I used to do was I had what was called Homeschool Science Tuesday classes. That's where I would invite students that homeschooled to come into my store. I had a little classroom in the back room, and we would do science lessons. Not just dinosaurs, but all kinds of science lessons. And so these kids would come in, and I would do lessons for them. And it was one day during a lesson that a little boy held up his hand, and he said, Dinosaur George, can you explain? And then he asked his question. And from that moment on, every other kid in the room started calling me Dinosaur George. And so that's how it started. But how it took off. There is a man named Richard Turner. He is a card mechanic. What that means is he can do things with a deck of cards that I have never seen in my life. And any of you that want to go Google Richard Turner card shark, you'll see things you won't understand. Anyway, Richard is the first one to call me Dinosaur George in public. I walked into a room and he said, hey, Dinosaur George. And after that, everybody just started calling me Dinosaur George. Even my dad would call me, hey, Dinosaur George. So that's how it started. It's incredible. It started with one young man saying it, and everybody just picked up after that. Okay, Stella, 7 years old from New Zealand. What's your favorite color? Blue. Stella, my favorite color is blue. My eyes are blue. But I love the color blue. What a great question. All right, Dalinosaurus, age 8, from the USA. And Phoebe Cephalosaurus, age 14, they live in Arkansas, said, are you married? I'm not married. I would like to be married. I hope I have the chance to marry the girl of my dreams, but I'm not. I'm not married and I don't have children. I work so much that it's hard for me to find someone because I travel so much. So if any single moms out there or any single ladies, hey, here I am. I'll go through the rest of, I like walks on the beach. All right. That's a good question. All right. Velasa Addy, age 8 from Michigan, and Mason, age 7 from College Station, Texas, say, what do you like to do? What are your hobbies outside of dinosaur studies? You know what? I enjoy fishing very much. I enjoy a lot of things. I really like to watch old black and white monster movies. I have so much fun doing that. Or sci-fi movies. I love, like, from the 1940s, the 1950s, and into the 1960s. I enjoy that. I find that very relaxing, and I do. I'll tell you something else that I like doing as well. One of my other hobbies. I like cleaning fossils. Now, I know you said besides dinosaur stuff, but that's something else I enjoy doing. I have equipment and I like to sit there and I like to prep and clean the bones. So those are kind of the things that I like to do. All right. Havisaurus Rex, age 6 from New York, said, how do you like to celebrate your birthdays? You know, it's funny. There is an ongoing joke with me that I claim that I am 39 every single year. every year I claim I turn 39. And so one of the ways I celebrate my birthday is I constantly tell people I'm going to turn 39. And it is so funny because all my friends and followers on Facebook go every year. They just go, oh, not this again. Yes, it's this again. But I'll tell you how I like to celebrate my birthdays. I actually like just staying home. You see, I'm surrounded by people all the time because I travel. I'm a public figure, which means people recognize me. And I enjoy that. I really enjoy it a lot. But sometimes if I go to like a movie or something, if somebody recognizes me, they want to sit and talk to me, which is great. I enjoy it. But sometimes I just enjoy not being anywhere just to kind of relax. So I actually enjoy just spending my birthdays at home. Maybe watching an old movie. All right. Olin Ceratops, age 7 from Vermont, says, what town do you live in? I live in a city called New Braunfels. That's right next to San Antonio. You'll almost always hear me say I'm from San Antonio because more people know where San Antonio is. But I actually live in a town called New Braunfels, which is close to San Antonio. All right, Kabir, if you could name a dinosaur, what would that name be? Wow. Wow. This is a good one. Oh my gosh, I don't know. I tell you what I would do. If I found a meat eater, the last name, you remember all dinosaurs have a first and last name. I know the last name, I would either want to name it, I would want to name it in honor of Thomas Holtz, who is a paleontologist who I respect immensely. If it was a plant eater, I would name it after Dr. Larry Whitmer, who is another paleontologist who I respect immensely. I would want to honor one of those two. I wouldn't name it after myself. But as for the first name, I don't know. That's such an interesting question. I would have to think about that. That's a great question. All right. Rock and Roar Ben, age 7 from Texas, says, who is El Stinko's mom? Well, first of all, how am I supposed to know? How am I supposed to know who this El Stinko person is? Because it's not me. So how am I going to tell you his mom's name? let me go back and... Okay, let me say that again. How am I going to tell you El Stinko's mom's name when I don't even know who El Stinko is? And on top of that, I'm not going to tell you her name is Elizabeth. Wait. Are we going to edit that out? You guys make sure to take that out. Okay, let's pretend like I didn't say that. All right. All right, Baron Raptor, age 6 from Houston. What is your favorite prehistoric animal, non-dinosaur? This is a good question. You know, I really like the rhinoceroses. I really like the prehistoric rhinos. I like them a lot. And they may be my favorite of all. I mean, the mammoths are cool and the giant bears and all the different carnivores. And there's so many to choose from. The whales, the birds, so many. But I would say that I like the giant rhinos, probably like Brontops or Arsenotherium. Now, Arsenotherium is not a rhino, but he looks like one. But those are probably the ones I like. That's a great question. All right, so now let's talk about early life and my inspirations. So what got me into dinosaurs? Well, it was probably my fourth or fifth birthday that I got a bag of dinosaur toys, and that's what really got me excited. And it's a funny story. When I was four and a half, we went to the Smithsonian Institute in Washington, and we were looking at the dinosaurs. And then all my family wanted to move on because nobody wanted to see them, but I wanted to see them. And I kind of started hanging towards the back of the family as they followed mom. And when they turned a corner, I turned around and took off running to go back to look for the dinosaurs, and I got lost. I got lost, and a nice lady saw me standing by myself looking at dinosaurs with no other adults around, and she came to me. And so she took me to a worker there at the museum, and she said, this little boy's lost. And the worker was really nice. She was a really pretty girl, and she gave me a box of Cracker Jacks because she didn't want me to cry. I wasn't crying. I was content. I got to see dinosaurs. So she gave me Cracker Jacks, and then she walked me outside where a security guard was in a little a little golf cart, and he put me up on the seat next to him, and he drove me to a building, and that's where the police station was, and I went up the elevator, and he let me sit on the captain's desk, and they let me wear the captain's hat, and they give me these little white powdered donuts and a glass of milk, and I was having the time of my life until the elevator door opened, and there was my mother. I know what a Tyrannosaurus Rex sounded like because she made the sound when she saw me. My mom was so relieved that I was okay, but she was so mad that I had run off. And I remember looking at the policeman and going, "Don't send me with this lady. I'm not going to make it out." So from when I was 4 and a half, I just absolutely loved dinosaurs. Now, as for role models and people that inspired me, Dr. Robert Bakker, Dr. Phil Curry, those two were the men that I read about the most. And I absolutely admired them. There was Dr. John Ostrom, and there were so many, Dr. Juan Langston, and so many of these people that I read about and heard about and admired so much. Just so many of them. And I ended up meeting almost all of them. And they're all nice. That's the best part. So there was a lot of people that inspired me. All right, this is from my niece, Susie Soros, who says, "Have you always been as happy and as confident as you are now? Do you have any advice for shy kids?" You know, Susie Soros, I've always sort of been very outspoken. I've always been funny. I make people laugh. And I've always been like that ever since I was a little kid. But I was never very good in math, and I was very nervous when it came to math. When we had math in class, I would become very quiet and shy. I didn't want to talk to anybody because I felt so uncomfortable. And I had a second grade teacher, Mrs. Grant, who sat me down and said, "Georgie, you laugh and you smile and you have a good time. And as soon as we start math, you don't say anything and you look like you want to cry." And I said, "Because I don't know anything." And she said, "Of course you know something. Of course you do. Just because you're not good at something doesn't mean you're not good at everything." And she started making me feel better. So what I would say to you, Susie Soros, I've watched you become such an incredible young lady. I am so proud of you. And every step you take, you seem to be blossoming like a flower, like you started off as a seed, kind of curled up in a little ball, safe from the world. And mom and dad covered you with love and fed you and watched you grow. And you're growing up to become so incredibly beautiful and smart. And I think you've gained a lot of confidence just because you found something you like and you learned about it. And now you've got the confidence to talk to anybody about dinosaurs. So my advice to all of you, if you're shy, is if there's something that you like, learn about it and use that thing as the way to start a conversation with a stranger. Let's say that there's a new student that goes to school with you, or you meet a new friend at your church, or you meet a new friend while you're hiking. You can walk up and say, "Do you like dinosaurs? Because I do." And if they say they don't, that's okay. That's okay. You don't have to worry about it. Okay, cool. What kind of stuff do you like? Maybe they like birds. "Hey, did you know dinosaurs are birds?" So my advice to anyone that's shy is pick a subject that you like and use it to start your conversations with strangers, and you'll become more used to it. All right, this is from Veloscaraptor, who's 7, that lives in Scotland. "When did you first discover your love of dinosaurs?" 4 and a half, 5 years old. It was that bag of dinosaur toys I got for Christmas. I just will never forget them. They were so cool. I just went crazy. All right, Starvinator, age 4, from San Diego. "Why do you like dinosaurs so much?" I guess it's because of the mystery. It's the mystery. It's the things we don't know. I love paleontology because we don't have all the answers. And I love that. I love that there's things we don't know, and it's the mystery, and it's the sizes and the shapes and the kind, and how did they interact? What did they sound like? What did they look like? Those are the things that make me like them so much. All right. Philippa Raptor, age 8, from Scotland. Have you always just liked dinosaurs, or did you like other subjects as well? If so, what other subjects do you like? Well, I love space. I love anything to do with science. I like chemistry. I like World War II machines, like the airplanes and the tanks and the ships. I like those things. I'm not a big fan of cars. Now, I have a very big truck because I pull a very big trailer. I like cars, but I never studied cars. But I love studying history. History is my favorite subject. I love the Old West. I love studying about the history of Scotland, of England, of Australia. I love learning about the people. I love studying about the Egyptians. So there's a lot of subjects I like, but science being the most important, followed by history. All right, and Dominus Luke, age 8 from Virginia, said, did you ever find any fossils on your farm growing up? Yes, I did. As a matter of fact, the first fossil I ever found was on the farm where I grew up. I grew up on a farm in sort of central Texas. I grew up on a farm. The town I grew up in, the population was probably 35 people. It was tiny. And I was in a creek bed one day picking up rocks, and I found a tiny little snail shell, a fossilized snail shell. That was my first fossil. I loved it. So yeah, I start off, and once I found my first fossil, then after that, I spent all day in that creek picking up everyone I could find. Some of them were really big, and I suddenly realized, I never realized those things were there. I didn't know that they were there. And yet, there was thousands of fossils on my property. And once I found that, then I spent every minute doing that. You know what else I found, though, on our property? Arrowheads from Native American Indians. I had a huge collection of arrowheads that I collected as well. All right, Ella Hippus and Grammosaurus Rex said, did you ever dress up as a dinosaur for Halloween? You know what? I didn't. Every Halloween, I always dressed up as the exact same thing, a skeleton. I was a skeleton every single Halloween. I didn't want to be a superhero. I didn't want to be Dracula. I didn't want to be Frankenstein. I didn't want to be a zombie. I was always a skeleton. And one year, it was a big thing for us to go pick out our costumes. I can remember we would go into the store, and there was just rows and rows of boxes of Halloween costumes, and the mask was always in the front, and you just, it was the greatest thing in the world to get to choose yours. And one year, I, of course, went in looking for a skeleton, and I found one, but this skeleton had a tarantula on the face. And I looked at it, and I thought, what if this is too scary for people? What if they're so scared, they're not going to give me any candy? So I chose a different one because I thought when adults see this costume with a tarantula on a skeleton face, I thought they were going to scream and shut the door and I wouldn't get any candy. So I didn't choose that one. Oh, my gosh. All right. Let's see. Lexi wants me to tell you a little bit about how I became a self-taught paleontologist. Okay, one of the things that I don't do very often, I try not to do ever, is I don't call myself a paleontologist. And here's why. Okay, I do paleontology for a living. So I am a professional paleontologist. I'm an avocational paleontologist. But I still hesitate introducing myself as a paleontologist. Now, if little kids come up to me and say, are you a paleontologist? I'll say yes. Because if not, it would take me forever to explain to them why I'm not. But here's the thing. A paleontologist, in my opinion, is someone that goes to college and gets their degree to become a paleontologist. It's sort of like a doctor of medicine. I can cut my finger and I can put a Band-Aid on it, but that doesn't make me a doctor, right? Does that make sense? So a paleontologist, for me, because I want to give them the respect they deserve for working so hard to become a paleontologist, that I don't feel like I should call myself a paleontologist because I didn't do the same amount of work that they did to in order to become a paleontologist. Now, for those that go on to become a doctor of paleontology, then it is very respectful to call them doctor or professor. So you'll never hear me call myself a doctor of paleontology because that's just completely wrong. But what I did is I started reading every single book I could find on dinosaurs. And then I started watching shows, and then the internet was invented. When I was a kid, there was no internet. And I read as much as I could. And I have the ability to remember almost everything I read when it comes to prehistoric life. One of the reasons why people come to me is because I can tell you a lot of things about a lot of animals. Like, you know, if somebody comes up and says, can you tell me about this fish called Incodus? Well, Incodus was a late Cretaceous fish with really huge teeth, and I could tell you those things. Now, I couldn't tell you like how many bones it has, and I couldn't tell you the scientific last name for it because I don't study them that much. But anyway, I learned so much that what happens now is a lot of people come to me to ask me questions. A lot of kids ask me questions, and I can answer most of them because I continue to study. Now, had I gone to college to get my degree as a paleontologist, I might not be sitting here recording a podcast today because that might have taken me on a different path in my career. I might be working in a museum where I only see people that come and visit. What I get to do now is I take my knowledge of paleontology and I get to do whatever I want with it. In my case, I created a company around it, and I've been lucky because it's been a successful company. So let me read a couple of these questions. Okay, this is from Indominus Wex, Wes, age 6, from Maryland. I used to live in Suitland, Maryland, Wes. What is your best advice for someone who wants to be a paleontologist when they grow up? What should I focus on in school right now to help me down this path? Great question. All right. If you are in high school, you want to study biology. And for all of you, if you don't already use the metric system, you need to learn it. Now, for all of my European and overseas friends, you almost all use the metric system, so you're in good shape because in paleontology, what I mean for my U.S. listeners, we talk about things in like feet and inches, and the metric system is things like centimeters, meters, that kind of thing. So my advice to you, since you live in Maryland, would be to study the metric system now and learn that. When you get to high school, take biology. When you pick a college, if you choose to, you want to make sure to learn geology. But for right now, the best advice I could have is to buy as many books as you can. Don't rely on one or two books. Don't reread them over and over and over and over. And here's why I say that. Because at the time those books were written, that's the most information they had. But new discoveries might mean that the things you're reading about have been proven to be inaccurate. So keep getting new books. Go online. Look at the date that the book was published. Learn as much as you can from the most recent books. And if you go online, you can find scientific papers to study. But continue to read as much as you can. Watching movies is great. Listening to podcasts is great. If you read the words, sometimes that helps you retain the information longer. Now, I deal with a lot of you that are dyslexic, and so reading is not as easy. Then listening is fine. Listen to podcasts like this one, but keep reading as much as you can. All right, this is from Ranger Anthony, who's 34, that lives in Nebraska. Ranger Anthony is a very good friend of mine. He started his own dinosaur business. If you could go back in time period, which would it be and what would you do to survive? Man, what a great question. You know, I love Allosaurus. That's my favorite dinosaur. So would I want to go back to the Jurassic and see it? I actually would rather go to the Cretaceous and try to see a Tyrannosaurus Rex. Now, in order to survive, I would probably have to spend as much time up in a tree as I could to be out of harm's way on the ground. I would want to take camouflage with me. I would want to take something that would hide my scent, something that would cover up the smell of meat, because I'm meat. So I would want to be very stealthy. Maybe night vision goggles would be amazing. That would help a bunch, right? That would help a bunch. And if I had to carry a weapon, I don't want to hurt anything, but if there had to be one weapon I would carry, it would be a flamethrower, only because fire scares animals. I wouldn't spray the animal with the fire, but I would just use it to make a fireball in front of me to stay safe. That's a great question, man. All right. I have a raptor, age 5, from the U.S. What does your favorite fossil look like? My favorite fossil was a tailbone of an Allosaurus. It's a little bone about as long as your hand. It has little concave ends. That means kind of bent in. It's just a little tail vertebra. It's not exciting to most people, but to me it's amazing because it's the first one I ever found. And that takes us into Jenny Raptor, age 6, from Michigan. It says, how many dinosaur bones have you dug up? Probably thousands. I have found thousands, thousands and thousands of fossils in my life. Shark teeth, mammoth bones, my gosh, dinosaurs of all kinds. So I've dug up thousands of bones, but my favorite fossil, there's two fossils that I love. One was that little snail fossil I found when I was a kid. That was my first fossil. But the other was the Allosaurus bone, the tailbone that I found. That remains my favorite fossil of all. All right. This says, talk about why I decided to make my company and why I decided to focus on children. Okay. Here's the story. Here's the whole story. I was an executive in a big company. I was the director of operations for a big company. I made a lot of money back then, but I didn't like that job very much. I had to wear a suit and tie every day. I traveled 5 days a week. I had 100 stores responsible for. I literally flew every day to different cities to oversee my stores. But I was paid a lot of money. And so when I had time off, I made so much money. I was able to fly to places like South Dakota. I would go dinosaur hunting. I would go find landowners and ask them if they'd let me dig on their property or if they would let me pay them to go dig on their property. So I started building this collection. So one Sunday, I'm sitting at home and my doorbell rings and I open the door and it's a man and his wife and their car had broken down. Their car wouldn't start. And they asked me if they could maybe see if I could give them a jump start for my car. And when I opened the door, the man's wife looked in my house and saw dinosaur bones everywhere. And she said, can I go look at this stuff? And she walked right past me into my house. The husband was startled. He's like, what are you doing? And she walked in and she just couldn't believe it. And she said, listen, I'm a teacher in a very small town. I mean, I'm a very small school and it's an inner city school and nobody ever comes to visit our students. Would you consider getting a bunch of bones together and maybe come to our school and show the kids what you do? And I had never done that before. And I said, yeah, you know what? That sounds like fun. I think I'll do that. So I did. I took a day off from work and I went to go with a box of bones and I went to a school and I set the bones up and the students came in and I had the best time. It was so much fun. The kids loved everything. They were so excited. And I thought to myself, this is the first time I loved doing something because I did not enjoy my job. The reason why I didn't enjoy my job is one, I only got to talk to the managers of the stores. I rarely got to talk to the public. I traveled by myself, so that was kind of lonely. And sometimes in my job, I would have to be the person that would have to fire people if business was slow. And that was killing me. I hated that. But this with these kids was fun. So anyway, I did it and I had a good time and I didn't think anything about it. And about 3 days later, I receive a letter from a mom And in this letter, mom said she had three boys. One of them was no longer alive. He had been shot when he was doing something bad. Her other son was in jail for doing something bad. And then she only had her youngest son. And she was so worried that he was going to grow up and do bad things like his brother. But her son came home from school the day I was there, and he asked his mom if she would find the library so he could get a book. And his mom asked a neighbor who had a car. See, this was a single mom. She didn't have a husband. So she was raising her boys by herself, and that can be hard to do. And so her mom asked the neighbor if the neighbor would drive them to the library, and this little boy got his first library card, and he checked out 5 books about dinosaurs. And that night, he told his mom, "When I grow up, I want to be a dinosaur man like the one that came to my school." She wrote me a letter to tell me how much she appreciated what I had done, because now her son was not thinking about doing bad things. Her son wanted to learn about dinosaurs. That letter changed my life. It completely changed my life. I realized that in less than an hour, I was able to change the life of a child. And I decided right then and there, I would dedicate the rest of my life bringing science to children. And a long story short, I quit my job. I gave up all the money I was making, and I opened up a store. And my store had fossils and minerals and crystals and rocks and toys and books and videos. And it was all because of a letter from a mom. So that's how I got started. That's kind of what I did. Since that time, it's been estimated that I've seen probably close to 5 million kids. I volunteer going visiting children's hospitals to go see children who are sick in the hospital. I've seen thousands and thousands. I've done thousands of shows at schools, at libraries, at public events, at I've even done birthday parties. Now I travel all over the state with my traveling dinosaur museum. Sometimes I see 700 or 800 children a day. So that's what I do. That's how it got started, was a letter. All right, this is a question from my very good friend, Zach, the Steel City Tiger, who lives in Uniontown, Pennsylvania. Throughout your years of educating as many as you have, are there any particular stories that stand out in your mind? There are, Zach. I've got so many memories of some of the things. One time I was doing an event, a big outdoor event. There was probably 3,000 or 4,000 people at this event. And I'm on stage and I'm doing a show. And all of a sudden, this little boy walked up on stage. Just a little kid. He looked like he was probably 4. Maybe he was like me, right? He wandered off from his parents too because there was dinosaurs. And he walked up on stage to me. So I got down on my knee and I said, "Are you lost?" And he said, "I gotta go potty." So I saw this lady coming through the crowd with a very scared look on her face. And I said, "Is that your mom?" He goes, "Yeah." I said, "Mom, can you get up here for a minute? We've got an emergency." So mom picked him up and took him, and everybody in the audience clapped as she left with him. So I've got so many stories like that, Zach. It's unbelievable, the sheer number of things. But that was certainly one that really stuck in my head. All right. So in my career, now in 2007, a television producer came to me with the idea of me doing a TV show. And the show was going to be for the Discovery Channel. It was going to be a show for kids. And that didn't work out. The network didn't want to do that. But the History Channel heard about it, and they wanted someone to create a show about dinosaurs fighting, but they wanted the show to be based around discoveries. And so I got a chance to sit down and co-create this show called Jurassic Fight Club. And it was for the History Channel. And that was exciting because then millions and millions of people saw that show. It was controversial in that people in the science community were mad because the way the show was written was it was written in two parts. The first part, we picked two animals that were found together in the same environment. So then we were going to make a show about what would happen if those two animals met. So the first half of the show was paleontologists from all over the world who were guests who would come in and talk about the animals. Remember, I told you I got to meet my heroes. I got to interview these people. And so they would talk about the animals themselves. The second half of the show was a fictional representation of what I thought would happen if they met. So I was making up a story of how these animals fought. But people in the science community felt that I was pretending like we knew what actually happened, which is absurd. How could anybody know that? And so we did our first season, and the people, the guests who were in the show, almost all of them really enjoyed the show a lot. And so we created that show, and I had so much fun. I got to pick the subject. I got to determine who would be interviewed. I wrote the shows. I helped with the layout, the fight scenes, all that stuff. I enjoyed it a lot. There was going to be a second season, but we weren't able to work it out. I really didn't want to do a second season. I didn't like to deal with the arguments. And I had a scientist once write to me and say, how could you possibly know that the Tyrannosaurus Rex moved its head quickly to see the enemy approaching? And I said, well, I couldn't, but that's fiction. That's like watching Jurassic Park and being mad because that's not real. Well, of course it's not real. It's fiction. So anyway, I did that show did Jurassic Fight Club, and I enjoyed it. Like I said, it's the first time I ever wrote for television. Everything about TV was new to me, and it was very exciting. And you want to know the best part? Next to meeting my heroes and interviewing them and becoming friends with them, I also got to go into museums at night after they closed because we were there filming. I was like a little kid again. I could go through those museums. There wasn't anybody in there. I got to see everything. They would take me into the collections room. I would get to see all these amazing things that most people didn't get to see. I love that. I absolutely love that. So that was like the coolest thing in the world. Discoveries. One of the questions is, what kind of stuff have I discovered? Well, I've seen things that have been unbelievable. I found a jaw section once with a bunch of teeth in it from an Albertosaurus. Some of the expeditions were just amazing. One of them, one that really sticks out in my mind, I went to Utah one time, and I set up a tent late at night. I got there late, and I set up my tent in the dark. And then the next 3 days, I hunted dinosaur bones, and I didn't find anything. Scraps, pieces of bone, that kind of thing. So on the third day, I was so mad. I was going to go home early, and I took down my tent. When I removed my tent, there was a dinosaur bone under my tent. I'd been sleeping on a dinosaur bone the whole time, but because I set it up in the dark, I didn't see the bone there. All right, this is from Adelinosaurus Rex, age 7, who lives in Georgia. Now, listen, little Addie is the love of my life. She is the daughter of our director of marketing, the one I told you about at the beginning, Alexis. Addie is her daughter. She's the cutest kid in the world. She said, how old were you when you found your first fossil? Addie, I think I was 6. I think I was 6 or maybe 6.5 years old, because that's when we moved to Texas. So my first fossil was that little snail. Addie, I think I was 6 or 6.5 years old, Adeline. I hope you're doing well, sweetie. All right. Hankylosaurus. Hankylosaurus, I love that name. Age 5 from Pennsylvania. What was your first fossil you found? It was that little snail. It was and in fact, I finally looked it up. It was a snail from the Miocene age. It wasn't a dinosaur age. It was from the Miocene. It was from the Miocene. That was my first one. Abrasaurus says, have you ever found a mammal fossil? What was it? Yes, a lot of them. Mammoth. I found mammoth teeth, part of a mammoth tusk. I found camel, prehistoric bison, rhino, cat, bear, wolf. My gosh, llama. Oh, I found some pronghorn. I found so many prehistoric mammal bones in my life, and I loved all of them. All right, Anton Allosaurus, age 6 from Germany, and Adisaurus Rex, age 7 from the Philippines, both said, what's the biggest fossil you ever found? That was a femur from a Diplodocus. Biggest fossil I ever found was a femur from a Diplodocus. Femur is the biggest bone in your body. It's your upper leg bone. That's the biggest fossil I ever found. Took 5 people to lift it up. It was crazy. All right, Ichthyosaurus Alfie, age 6 from London, said, have you ever been to Lyme Regis, where Mary Anning is from? If so, did you find any fossils? I have not. But my niece, Susiesaurus Rex, my niece, my plan is to fly over there and to go with her mom and dad and her and go look there. I desperately want to go there. I desperately want to go, but I've never been. 8 and 6 from Australia said, what's your favorite fossil that you found? It's always going to be that little tailbone from an Allosaurus. Remember I told you guys that I got that bag of dinosaur toys when I was 4 and a half? Well, the toy that was the coolest of them all was an Allosaurus. It looked different from all the other toys. That became my favorite dinosaur, all because of that. So that became my favorite dinosaur. It's the dinosaur I studied the most. Whenever I played dinosaurs with my friend, I was always Allosaurus. One of the people who dug up Allosaurus was a man named Jim Madsen, and I admired him so much, and I got to meet him, and he and I became really good friends. And so the first dinosaur bone I ever found, I found in Utah, and it was the tailbone of an Allosaurus. So that remains my favorite, not only because it was the first bone I found, but it was because it was from my favorite animal. How crazy is that? What am I doing now? Well, here's the stuff that I do now. I have a store and a museum at Trader's Village in San Antonio. That's only on the weekends. That's a big project. I have my traveling museum, which is very, very popular, and we travel all the time. I have 2 big warehouses filled with fossils and rocks and minerals, and that's where everything is boxed to be able to be sent to the stores, and I oversee all of that stuff. Really, writing books I love doing. In fact, my new book, well, it's not new, but my Encyclopedia of Dinosaurs and Prehistoric Creatures is available. If any of you want a copy, you can go to my website, dinosaurgeorge.com, and you can order it through the store. I'm working on that. I'm trying to write another book, and I've got so many other things that I'm working on, so many different projects. One of the ones I'm trying to think about is maybe making these podcasts video podcasts and putting them on YouTube. That's sort of my next project down the road, I think. All right. Eli Tyrannosaurin, age 6, this is great, from U.S., says, how many fossils do you have in your museum? Well, in my traveling museum, I think I travel with about 80 different fossils. And in my big museum, I've probably got another 40 or 50, but they're big, big, big. Like the ones I travel with are not that big. In my museum, I've got the skull of Giganotosaurus, Spinosaurus, Saurophaganax, 3 Tyrannosaurus rexes. I got the arms of Dinochirus. I've got a mammoth skull, which is huge. I have a giant deer, 3 or 4 big ceratopsians. I have Sarcosuchus, I have Dinosuchus skulls, I have the skeleton of Tinker, the teenage dinosaur. I've got big pieces in there. Altogether, I probably have maybe 300 or 400 pieces in my collection now. All right, so finally, let's talk about the podcast. How did we end up with this podcast? Well, I was doing a podcast for adults. I used to do a podcast for adults, and I liked doing it. But what I didn't like is the arguments that people would get into over anything that was said. I would invite paleontologists to come on as a guest, and I would interview them. And then after that podcast would go live, I would get hundreds of messages, emails from adults who disagreed with that paleontologist and called them names. And I'm like, listen, this is supposed to be fun. Why are people so angry when they hear something they don't like? And I decided then, I'm no longer going to do this. My life is too happy. I'm too happy. So doing a show for kids means that I get to teach them about dinosaurs and teach them about how to disagree with somebody. Teach them the manners that they need. It is okay to disagree with somebody, but it's not okay to be mean about it. And so I had this podcast, and then right before COVID, I had a house built, and I built a recording studio as well. And I knew that I was going to do a podcast one day. It was going to be for kids. But I didn't know when I was ever going to get around to it. And then COVID happened. And when COVID happened, well, then that meant I couldn't travel with my traveling museum. And now I was home. So I started doing Zoom lessons so that I had a way to make money and a way to continue to teach kids about science. So I had all this equipment that I bought for my Zoom lessons. I had top quality recording equipment and cameras and sound system. And the room that I record in is soundproof. And it's a recording studio. It's a full-blown recording studio. And during the shutdown due to COVID, I decided one morning, I need to figure out how to do a podcast. So I started researching it and I found out what I needed to do. And then I found a company that does the different intros and outros that you hear. And I created this stuff and I wrote an outline for what I wanted the show to be. And I recorded that first show. And here we are, 100th episode, over 1 million downloads. It's been a crazy adventure. It's been a crazy adventure. All right. Raja Gramas, age 11, how did you go from making YouTube videos to podcasts? Which do you like better? You know, that's the other thing. I still have my YouTube channel up. It's under Dinosaur George. What I used to do in the past is people would write me and ask me questions, and I would shoot a video of me answering the questions. Now, I had very poor equipment, and sound equipment was bad. I mean, it was the first thing I ever did. And I enjoyed doing that, but the problem was that I didn't have the right equipment to make them look good. So they weren't as popular because it was done on a shoestring budget. They weren't that popular, but I enjoyed it. Once I went to the audio podcast, well, it's heard by a much bigger audience. So I do enjoy this. Now, if I do YouTube videos, they are going to be nothing more than setting up a camera in my recording studio and filming the podcast. So that's what the videos will be, is it'll just be me doing this podcast. So instead of listening to this podcast, you could watch me do this podcast. And so that's kind of how I ended up going from video to audio. But I do want to go back to doing video. I do think it's fun. All right. And Kylo David Soros, age 6 from Michigan, said, how long have you been doing podcasts? Well, my first one, you know what? I don't know what the date. I wonder what the date is of the very first one. This is our third year. So I wonder when I started. You know what? Let me bring this up and look at something. Let me go back and look through episodes. I want to see when I started. The first one was Allosaurus. I know that. Okay, November 24th, 2020. So November 24th, 2020 is the day I released my first podcast. It was a 28-minute long, and it was listened by 23,000 people. And after that, it just grew and grew and grew. How crazy is that? That's kind of nuts. All right. That's a good question. All right. Cha-cha-cha runic raptor, age 10 from Oregon, says, where's the evidence that you're not El Stinko? Listen, kid, I'm not El Stinko, okay? First of all, El Stinko is 5'7" tall. Well, I'm 5'7" tall. Okay, forget that part. El Stinko has blue eyes. Well, do you know what color my eyes are? No. So there. El Stinko has terrible underarm body odor. So there's plenty of evidence. Stop asking that question. There's plenty of evidence. I'm not El Stinko. All right. Pizza Jurassic Dude, age 5 from Kansas, says, why do you have stink bombs? I don't have stink bombs. You're talking about El Stinko, and that's not me. I mean, yeah, maybe I need a little underarm perspirant, but antiperspirant, but doesn't mean I'm a stinko. Okay. Mark, age 9 from New Jersey. Have you ever captured Cha-Cha-Cha Raptor on camera? Yes. During one of the Patreon lessons, Cha-Cha-Cha Raptor made its appearance on camera for everybody to see. So all of my Patreon club members got to see it. It's a horrifying animal. There's nothing good about it. All right. Tycho Tutiranodon, age 6 from Shorter, North Carolina. Why did you make El Stinko up? Okay, let me tell you the story of El Stinko. A young person asked me once what I would do if a dinosaur attacked me, and I said I would raise up my arms and the smell from under my arms would kill the dinosaur and I'd be safe. And somebody else commented that I would be an El Stinko. And after that, everybody started calling me El Stinko. Well, I'm not El Stinko. El Stinko is a superhero, much like Superman, much like the Hulk, much like the Flash, much like Batman. El Stinko is the greatest superhero in the history of the world. And everyone loves El Stinko. But it's not me, so stop saying that. All right. Noah, age 15. Now, Noah is my assistant, lives in Colorado. What is your favorite moment you have ever experienced with all your programs, live lessons, podcasts, museums, etc.? Wow, Noah. My favorite moment happened at a children's hospital. There was a boy who was being treated for cancer, and there was this thing that he had to do. He'd sit in this tent, and he had to breathe in this certain stuff, and he was terrified of being in that tent. And he screamed horribly when they would put him in. And the doctors felt terrible. And the nurses had to hold him in. And his mom or his dad would have to sit with him and hold him while he was in there because he had to breathe this certain chemical. And he was terrified of it. And he asked his mom if I would go sit in the tent with him. So they called me. And I did. Now, the stuff that he was breathing wasn't dangerous to breathe. I've got asthma. And so this stuff helps kind of loosen stuff. So it's actually, for me, it was good for me. So I went in and he sat on my lap and I talked about dinosaurs during his treatment. And he didn't scream and he didn't cry and he wasn't scared anymore. So I did that with him 4 or 5 times until he was able to not have to do it anymore. And that probably remains one of the most memorable things for me because it was really cool. Okay, Ionch Rex wants to know, can I work with you when I grow up? Listen, a lot of you, if you want to be paleontologists, if you ever want to come to work for me, I would love to have all of you work for me. All right, Macroraptor, age 6 from Australia. What countries would you like to go for a dig? Well, I would love to dig in Australia. I want to dig in South America with a friend down there. I want to dig all over the world. I absolutely love it. I absolutely love digging. I think that's the coolest thing in the world. All right, my friends. Well, I hope this one sort of interests you. It's certainly a different kind of podcast. We didn't have any animals. It was nothing but me talking nonstop. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. I hope it gives you some insight into who I am. I want you all to know how much I appreciate all of you for being so kind and being listeners. And this is the 100th episode, which is kind of fun. Been doing this for a while, and I hope you all enjoyed this one. Remember, if you'd like to order a copy of my book, we ship worldwide, the Dinosaur Encyclopedia, go to dinosaurgeorge.com. I will continue to autograph them before I mail them out. And for overseas members, we still have an issue with the cost of shipping. what you're paying is more than what it actually is. And so we're having to refund the difference. We're still trying to work on that. But for right now, if you sign up for one and you see the shipping is really, really expensive, understand that when we actually do the transaction, if there is a difference, we will refund the difference. For everybody out there, be kind to each other. Be nice. It's okay to disagree with somebody, but don't be mean when you do it. I don't know who El Stinko is, but I'm sure El Stinko would like for me to say thank you all for listening to this 100th podcast. Thank you all very much, everybody. Be good, and I will see you guys later.
Thank you for listening to Dinosaur George Kids. Join the Dinosaur George Kids Facebook group, become a member of our Patreon club, and check out our website store for cool fossils, rocks, and crystals. Visit dinosaurgeorge.com for details. Until next time, keep digging for knowledge.